Praise God. It must be summertime. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Anybody enjoy progress or setback days, as sometimes you like to call them, when you try to drive through town? There is very slow progress while trying to get through town. I was coming down the hill, and I probably shouldn't say this on Facebook Live, but I was coming down the hill over Fred Meyer, and I threw the video camera on to try to capture how crazy busy it was, and it looks like every other town in America. So it didn't look that crazy. I need to compare that with one driving down the hill in December where you're the only car on the road. Right. So, but progress days yesterday, praise God. We're going to progress today and learn about the discipline of worship. Great lesson today about Abraham. Amen. Let's get into it. Why not? Why not? Praise God. The discipline of worship, Genesis 22 and 5 is our focus verse today. And Abraham said unto his young men, in other words, his entourage, those that came with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. There's so much in that focus verse today, and hopefully we'll get to some of it. But there is a statement of trust, faith, confidence, covenant. Abraham believed that no matter what God had asked him to do, he was coming back with the lad. But if not, I'm going anyway. You guys wait here. We'll be right back. Amen. Genesis, the lesson text, will let you read through that at your convenience. There was a few things God asked Abraham to do. Take now thy son. This is verse 2 of that same chapter. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And the first part of verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. I wish there was, just for our convenience and for our understanding, wish there was some amplified information between verse 2 and verse 3. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe the thought process. Maybe there was no concern. Maybe there was no issue. Okay, God. Maybe there was. How many times have we been asked to do something or feel to do something, and God's leading us in a certain direction, and we don't rise early the next morning? We drag our feet. But God, explain it to me one more time. Let me fleece you one more time. Let me ask, clarify that for me if you would, Lord. I'd like to know a little more detail maybe about that. And then I'll get going after I've had a good breakfast, and maybe I'll wait till after lunch. After lunch is better for me, God. I love that. Verse 2, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and headed off to do what God had asked him to do. Hallelujah. The last verse in there. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God is my provider. God is my provider. Our focus thought today, worship is both the believer's privilege and responsibility. We all enjoy privilege. We don't always enjoy responsibility. It is our privilege to worship God. It is also our responsibility to worship God. Now, Holly and I have been married for 24 years. Thank you, dear. Saw the hand go up. Praise God. Facebook Live, 24 years. I didn't remember. 24 years. And in all of those 24 years, for the first six or so, it was just Holly and I. And AJ came along a little later on. And in all of that time, Holly has never really understood that there's only two or there's only three of us when cooking a meal. And so there's always a full spread on the table. Three or four steaks. She's like, have another one. I already had about 16 ounces of steak. I can't eat any more. Well, you used to eat more than that. No, it's always been this way. There's always been more than enough prepared. And so because of that, we usually, typically have a lot of leftovers. So if you're ever hungry, don't go hungry. We don't even have to prepare extra. Just come over. Amen. There'll be enough food to feed the army that doesn't exist at our house. Praise God. Amen. Love you, honey. Leftovers. Leftovers. In our cultural connection, leftovers is a taste of this, a little bit of that. Maybe there was enough to put a whole plate together, but it's still just little bits and pieces of whatever you had left over, a little potato salad, a little maybe some fried potatoes, maybe a half a steak, or maybe one hamburger patty and one hot dog, but you ran out of buns, so it's just in there in the fridge. Maybe a slice of pizza. You put all those things together, and doesn't that sound appetizing? Doesn't that just sound wonderful? Just warm that all up on the same plate together, mix it all together, praise God, and just have yourself a great leftover dinner. No? Okay. Yeah. Me either, because my food can't touch. I like those military trays where the beans are in this compartment and the potatoes are in this compartment and the gravy doesn't touch at all. Praise God. Amen. I'm not the only weird one here, am I? Okay, good. Whew. All right. Amen. Praise God. So, just a little bit of everything. It's hard to make a meal, a real meal, out of leftovers. And we usually don't offer that to guests. Come on over to the house. We got leftovers, all kinds of leftovers, unless you're going to Brother Glover's. And then he's got leftover rice. That's praise God. It's going to be a part of that meal. Praise God. Amen. I think he goes to GI for the leftovers to take home. He didn't eat a whole lot while he's there, but man, he sure takes a lot home with him. Praise God. Amen. That's a good plan. While leftovers can satisfy your hunger, most of us would choose a full, refreshing, prepared meal over leftovers. In the hymn, Jesus Paid It All, the words are, Jesus paid it all. We get that part. We can say that part really easily. We thank him for that. The second line says, all to him I owe. How easy it is to say Jesus paid it all. How hard it is to live all to him I owe. When it comes to living a life of worship unto the Lord, leftovers will not do. Leftovers will not do. Just as God asked Abraham for his best in the sacrifice of Isaac, he asks no less of us today. Leftovers just will not do. Every action and motivation of our hearts must be offered in complete surrender and worship unto the Lord who demands all. All. Now, when we had a day like yesterday, and it was busy, and you were out in the sun, and you enjoyed the day, it's easy to be tired and wore out from the sun. I was telling Sister Glover, we didn't move to Alaska for the heat, right? And then when it comes, it just wipes you out. And then you wake up Sunday morning and you're a little groggy, you're a little tired, you're a little sunburnt. And we come to church and we're like, God, just today, Lord, just do your part. And once I get a little more energy, I'll try to do my part. Leftovers. We gave our all yesterday. We enjoyed the beautiful day that God had given us yesterday, and today we woke up with leftovers for God. Leftovers in our strength, leftovers in our worship, leftovers in our life today. God deserves so much more than our leftovers. Amen? God deserves so much more. He paid it all. Worship is more than something we do to receive blessing from God. It involves sacrifice. Worship involves sacrifice. It requires obedience. Glad that Abraham gave the example of obedience. And Abraham rose early in the morning and went. Obedience. Worship is a whole life process. So, what is whole life worship? What is whole life worship? Anyone want to chime in this morning? What is whole life worship? Brother Greg. Surrender, submission, whole life. Obedience, whole life. Whole life. Let me ask it to you this way. Can there be parts of our life that are not worship unto God? Can there be aspects of our life that are not worship unto God? Worship is a whole life process. Worship is in our everyday talk. Worship is in our everyday actions. Worship is with our whole heart. All of our strength. Worship needs to be whole life. Abraham demonstrated that worship is an act of trust. Worship proclaims God's attributes and witness to His greatness, to His goodness, and to His steadfast love. Worship is a whole life process. Abraham leaned upon God's record of faithfulness and blessing, even in the face of His command to sacrifice Isaac. God, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. But based on your faithfulness to me, based on the blessings that you've given to me, based on the day-to-day experience that we have, based on our friendship, based on our relationship, even when you ask me to do something that seems to be impossible and doesn't make any sense, I will obey. Today, have you learned to trust God? Sometimes It's proven more by our actions than by our words. God, I trust you. I trust you today. You've been faithful to me my whole life. And I say that I trust you. But then when you ask of me, my actions don't display trust. My actions and my words sometimes display doubt. But God, why would you ask me to do that? I don't understand this part of the process. I don't understand the direction you're trying to take me. And God's just simply trying to get you to the place where you trust and obey. And sometimes he asks crazy requests just to see, do they really trust me? The Bible says that this whole process for Abraham, the scripture says that God tempted Abraham, tested him. What are you really going to do? What is really at the heart? What is really at your core? Do you really, really trust me? Do you trust me? If you do, you will act. Your actions will prove your trust of God. As we walk by faith in obedience to God, living our whole lives as acts of worship and serving God and others, we too will reap the promises given in his word. And so I ask you today, can there be parts of our life that are not worship unto God? With our whole heart, with everything that is within me, all of my actions, all of my motives, all of my thoughts, everything that is me needs to be wholehearted worship. Worship. Praise God. What is worship? Worship is sacrifice. In the world in which Abraham lived, sacrifice was common. There was a lot of sacrifice that went on with the pagan gods. When Abraham worshipped Jehovah, it was natural for him to build an altar and to offer sacrifices to the true and living God. Pagans in the ancient world might have offered sacrifices out of duty or obligation or to escape the wrath or judgment of their gods in their minds. Abraham offered sacrifices out of a sincere desire to please God with the gifts that he gave. Abraham's sacrifice was symbolic of his need for God and his goodness as the source of life. Sacrifice. I don't know, do we ever get to the point where sacrifice doesn't feel like sacrifice anymore? Do we ever grow to the point where we just say, God, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm willing to give it. I'm willing to give it. Get beyond the, oh man, this really hurts right now. God, I know you told me to give this amount in the offering and you told me to do to give this to missions, or you told me to do this in my life, and it is a great sacrifice. But do we ever get to the point where we just say, okay, God, I'm just going to rise up in the morning and go. I'm just going to rise up early and go. I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm just going to, we've got enough relationship. We've got enough trust. I've seen enough blessing in my life. I know that you're faithful. I'm just going to get up and go. Hallelujah. I'm just going to get up and go. But worship is sacrifice. Hallelujah. Worship is sacrifice. Abraham's consistency in building altars and offering sacrifices at every location that he was at is worthy of note. Deities in the ancient world would often consist of statues or objects, idols, objects found in nature, and thus they were confined to a particular location. Because of this, worshippers of these gods had to travel to the location where their gods were housed in order to offer sacrifices. Abraham would build an altar where he went. We take from that that God is everywhere. God is everywhere. We don't have to make some journey off to some location where there is an image or a statue or something of the sort that we would go and offer sacrifices to that thing at that location. God is everywhere, which means that where you're at today, you can offer the sacrifice of praise. You can worship God right now where you are at. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham's decision to build altars as he traveled from location to location by God's command was symbolic of God's omnipresence. That God was to be worshipped wherever Abraham traveled was a bold proclamation that Jehovah was the true and living God of all the land and was not confined to one location. Worship is also obedience, Brother Greg. Obedience. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant with between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And I know we've thought this before, but God, why'd you wait until he was 90 and 9? I don't know. You ever question God's timing on certain situations in your life? You ever wonder, God, why are you waiting? I don't get it. Why can't we do this now? Act like a 2-year-old? I want it now, God. I want it now. I mean, you're God, aren't you? You can do anything you want, whenever you want. So why not do it now? No, that's not how it works. It works in God's timing. It works in God's timing. And our job is to be obedient to the timing of God. When God says it's time, our job is to say, okay. Great, I'm all in. I'm going to get up early and go, right? Praise God. That is our job. If we get our job right, God's always going to get his job right. So don't worry about that, right? Our job is to get up early and go. Praise God. Obedience. Ah, such a wonderful word. So, then after Abram fell on his faith, God continued, verses 4 and 6, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. He didn't have any kids yet, just so if you're keeping track. Yeah. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Still doesn't have any kids. The text indicates Abram rose up early in the morning, meaning he must have endured, and this is where we don't have any commentary, between verse 2 and verse 3. So this is all just thinking with our minds. Must have endured a long night beforehand as he considered what God had commanded him to do. How would he tell Sarah? Oh, by the way, God asked me to sacrifice our son, so I'm going to be getting up in the morning early and we're going to be heading out. And pretty much I'm just going to take him and sacrifice him to our God. How'd that conversation go? What would he tell his friends and neighbors who knew of the miraculous gift of Isaac to aging parents? Okay, the miracle child God gave us, right? What's he going to tell his friends that knew the story? Yeah, I know God gave him to us, but then he asked me to sacrifice him, so here we go. Right? Yes, sir. Yes. Right. Right. Absolutely. And it's amazing the amount of times that we go through situations in life that come up, and they are, sometimes we don't realize until about second, third, fourth. Some of us are really slow, and sometimes it takes 10 or 12 tests before we realize, oh, God's testing me, right? But yeah, this is not the first time that a test has occurred in his life. But he has proven God multiple times, and God was proving him. God was proving him. So he got up early, and he went. Praise God. How could he offer the gift that had filled his life with so much joy and hope? God was simply asking Abraham to do something that was very difficult and would test him to his very core. Have you ever felt that way in your walk with God? God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I don't know if I have the strength to get through this situation. And then we realize that it is not our strength, but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. God is very capable today of getting you through every trial, every test, everything that you go through. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It does show a remarkable level of trust in God. Remarkable level of trust in God. Now, Ishmael, going back to Ishmael, would that indicate a lack of trust in God's plan? Would that be, God, you told me this, but I'm not quite sure of the process, so I'm going to make it up as I go. I trust that this is going to happen, but I may have to intervene for you, God. I hope we've never thought that, but I'm sure we have. God, you gave me this word. You gave me this direction. And so I'm just going to, well, I've got my draft plans written out here, so I'm just going to go with that and trust that that's what you have in mind, rather than waiting on God's plan to be fulfilled the way that it's supposed to be fulfilled. We do that. But through time and through relationship and through faithfulness of God, Abraham learned to trust in him. Nothing less than total surrender and submission to God was required in Abraham's unprecedented act of obedience. Yes, God, I will go. Yes, God, I will go. It doesn't make sense. I will go. I don't understand how it's going to happen. I will go. I can't see how this is going to end good. I will go. When God is asking you to go, our job is to go. Is to go. We must trust Him. We trust Him through relationship. We trust Him because He's been faithful to us in every situation in our lives. We can trust Him. Amen. See, as we read the story today, we have the privilege of reading the Word. Abraham did not have those scriptures. All he had was relationship and the Word of God speaking to him. That's all he had. He did not have a way to see the end result. We can kind of skip ahead in Scripture and, oh, yeah, okay, that all works out. I can see how he would do that. No, we don't. We'd have to be in that situation, not knowing the outcome. Because the outcome in Abraham's mind was probably very different. Okay, if God's going to take Isaac, he's got another plan coming. He's got something in mind. I don't understand it. But yes, God. Obedience. Talking about worship today. Obedience. Can you see the worship in Abraham's life? It was obedient to God. Obedient to God. It may have been confusing to Abraham. But he said, yes, yes, I will get up early and I will go. Worship is also action. The story of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac demonstrates a whole life concept of worship. Worship is not just coming to church and raising our hands. Worship is not just saying, I worship you, Lord. Worship is a whole life experience. Worship should be a part of our every being, every thought, every action, everything that we do ought to be worship. Ought to be worship. But Abraham, it was a whole life concept of worship, one that encompasses all of one's being. Although Abraham's obedience grew out of his faith and willingness of heart, his actions, are you getting that today? His actions, it can't just be in word, must be in deed, must be actions involved. His actions also demonstrated a life wholly devoted to the worship of God. Sacrifice your son, yes, Lord. Got up early and went. Action, got up early and went. When referencing worship, the Old Testament most frequently uses the Hebrew word histahawa. How about that? You didn't think I was that smart to say that word this morning, did you? It means to prostrate oneself before a superior. Whatever you want. Completely submitted to what you want. It's an action. I in the lab will go yonder and worship. You guys stay here. Going to worship. I'm going to lay my life, my son's life, down before the Lord. One who is superior. Going to lay my life down in worship. Building altars is also an action. It takes effort to build an altar. It also is connected with the idea of service. Acts of service. To serve. The idea connected to this kind of service is that the person works to advance the agenda of a superior by doing certain acts or by living according to another's will. So our life, a whole life concept of worship, our life should be lived in service to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Our life should be lived in such a way that our whole life is worship unto God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham directed worship to its rightful recipient, the one true God. The outward manifestation of Abraham's obedience proclaimed his loyalty to the worship of God alone. So I ask you today, why is it important to back up our words with our actions? Why is it important to back up our words with our actions? We can say anything. You know, I'm a millionaire. Well, I better work harder if I'm going to make that come true. Right? We need to back up our words with our actions. So, if we say we love God with our whole heart, yet worship Him half-heartedly, we're not backing up our words with our actions. Praise God. The outward manifestation will show the inward condition of the heart. Boy, that's good preaching, Brother Bartlett. That's really good. You can't always tell when a fruit is rotten on the inside, but eventually it will show on the outside. Why do we worship? Because of who He is. Hallelujah. Abraham demonstrated that worship was a response to God, who commanded him to separate himself and move into the land He had promised. At every stop along the way, Abraham was careful to build an altar and worship God through sacrifice and obedience. Time and again, as God revealed Himself in covenant relationship, Abraham obeyed, building altars and sacrificing to God. As he continued to worship and obey God, Abraham came to know Him as the covenant-keeping God, provider, sustainer, deliverer, and friend. Amen. Abraham came to know God in real time, not having the treasure of Scripture. Sometimes we need to learn to trust God in real time. Right now. God, the situation that I'm in right now, I can't see the end. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to trust You now. I'm not going to spend the next day or the next week or the next month worrying about You coming through for me. I'm going to trust You now in real time. Real time. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Amen. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. In addition to His faithfulness and sovereignty, perhaps the most beautiful attribute of all God's unfailing is God's unfailing love to us, His people. Scripture bears witness of God's unfailing mercy rooted in His great love for His people, despite the many times they broke His covenant. Just go ahead and read the Old Testament, and you will lose track of how many times they broke covenant, failed miserably, time and time and time again. And you feel like you're reading your own life story sometimes. How many times have I failed You, God? How many times when You've said to go, I've said no and not okay? How many times have I stumbled and fell? But God's love is faithful. God's love will always be there for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all it takes on our behalf is say, okay, God, once again, I have failed. God, I want to get up again. I want to be back in Your will. I want to be back in covenant with You. Your covenant didn't change. But somehow, through the process of life and my failures, I have broken those. I have failed. I have broken Your trust. I want to get back to where I was. And God says, all right, I love you. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. This is what we can accomplish together. Let's get back up and get on this journey again, and let's see what can be accomplished for the kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whole life worship. I want my entire life to be worship unto God. But we worship Him because of who He is, because He loves us, because of what He does. Time and time again, He delivered us from the oppressor. He provided food, He shelter, clothing. He led the people to the land of promise. What He does. God, who does not change, is still the God who heals. He redeems. He shows mercy. He provides. He renews. Hallelujah. We worship Him for what He does. Praise God. I don't want to get to the place where I just worship Him because of what He does. I worship Him first for who He is. Praise God. And I also worship Him for what He does. Not I worship Him just for what He does for me. Amen. Amen. But I worship Him for who He is and for what He does. How are we to worship? We are to worship with our whole person. And I think of all the points that I wanted to make today, that was the big one. Worshiping with our whole person, our whole life. Not just when we're at church, not just when we're in a good mood, not when everything is going right in our life, but we worship God with our whole life at all times. That worship with a whole life orientation is demonstrated over and over in the life of ancient Israel. Every ritual, the food they ate, the clothing they wore, every even the very arrangement of their tents around the centrally placed tabernacle demonstrated that God was at the center of all of their life. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with, yeah, all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All thy might. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It's repeated again in the New Testament, Luke 10:27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus' words calls us to a holistic life of worship with our emotions, our very life, our physical bodies in service to God and to others, our intellect as we study and grow in order to better serve as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us today to make worship a part of everything we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, as we go before the Lord in prayer, we're going to continue to pray for Brother and Sister Wade.